Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 7th day of June, 2016. Well, once again, thank you so much for listening tonight. Hey, we have a great show for you. We have the head women's basketball coach at Dillard University. We have Norbert Rome. He is going to be on with us tonight and talk about things down at good old Dillard University in New Orleans, Louisiana. And also, once again, co-hosting tonight, Linda Van Smith. She's going to be here with us tonight. Well, once again, I want to thank so much last night Kathy Reeves of PD Sports Recruiters for coming on and talking about recruiting and talk about, you know, how to get it done for your child. Basically, it all starts with one thing, and that's grades. Nothing. I mean, they could be the best athlete in the world, but if Johnny can't read and Johnny can't write, well, it's just not going to work. So, you know, the basic thing is start with school and then work from there. And also don't forget on June 26th on the Overtime Sports Show, this is going to be over on Blab. And to watch this, just go to www.blab.im. We're going to give a webinar about recruiting and about NCAA rules. So you'll know starting basically, you need to know this from basically the crib. Up until you get to the ninth grade, you should be aware of what's happening. If you think the rules are strict now, they're even going to get stricter as time goes on. So you have to adapt, overcome, and accept it, and move on. But right now, without further ado, bringing on to the Overtime Sports Show Hotline, this is Coach Norbert Rome of Dillard University. How are you doing this afternoon or this evening, Coach?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for appearing here on the Overtime Sports Show. Well, let's jump right into it. I tell you what, I'll let you do this. Tell us about your background and your experiences in basketball.
Oh, well, I first started out coaching on the AAU level. I had the opportunity to coach with the Kenner Angels organization that's down here in New Orleans. And I got started doing that in a grassroots level. And then I had the opportunity to be able to get the chance to coach here under our current athletic director, Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. She gave me the opportunity to be able to coach with her in 2006. I was her assistant up until 2013. She gave me the opportunity to be the head coach. And I took over the program, and I've been coaching the program for the last 3 years, going into my fourth year.
Now, you like I said, once again, you have a unique perspective on everything because you've done coaching at the various levels and now winding up on the collegiate level. What are some things that you have seen that have changed in basketball over the years? Like, I know I've talked to coaches and it's always AAU versus school ball. It's, you know, does AAU get you into college ball? Is AAU good for the athlete to get into as far as fundamentals and stuff like that, moving to a higher level that to teach the teamwork and stuff? So from your perspective, talk about, you know, and I'm not saying AAU is bad, and you know, I'm just saying what is the what's your perspective on that theory of thought that a lot of people say AAU really in a way damages a kid more than it helps a kid sometimes?
Right. No, I think AAU is good for the sport. I think within, I can't speak for other organizations, but I think we the Kenner Angels organization, one of the biggest things that we focus on is character building. We feel that if you can place emphasis on character and you can find good people, obviously with a set of skills, a set of ability and talent, and you can get them to come together and be able to work together as a team, I think that we feel that it would help us to create a good organization. We feel that it would help us create good people and thereby helping us to create a good team. I think AAU sometimes gets a bad rap, but I think within our organization, one of the things, like I say, we continually push is the character building. So that was one of the things that drew me into the organization, and we really focused on the fundamentals of basketball. I think a lot of times that gets lost because our athletes in these times are much bigger, much faster, much stronger, and so sometimes fundamentals gets overlooked, so to speak. And so, but it's still, I mean, from the NBA level all the way down to junior high, you just can't get past being fundamentally sound with what you do within basketball. I mean, just life, period. Fundamentals is the basics. I mean, you just got to be able to know the foundation of whatever it is that you decide to do.
Yeah, you know, I've said that. I'm like you, Coach. I've said that 1,000 times. I mean, you know, David went in and beat Goliath because he fundamentally knew how to throw that rock. It wasn't because he threw it wildly and crazily. He fundamentally worked on how to throw that rock, and it worked.
Absolutely.
No matter how, you know, like you play on the NAIA level, okay, which most people, you know, it's a lower division, but I'm telling you right now, I can take five kids, and take them out there and fundamentally teach them how to play the game. And you can have a team full of five-star blue chippers can dunk between their legs, do 360s, but I will fundamentally beat you to death. And,
right.
I'll win that game. You'll have one guy score 40 points, but my team will score 41.
Right, absolutely.
Because we fundamentally did that. Now, that brings me to another question. NAIA. Now, in the NAIA, do they specifically give athletic scholarships, or is it more of the academics? Because I'm telling you, it's harder to get in some quote, and I'll use air quotes on this, Division III schools, NAIA-type schools, it is to get in Division I schools. The requirements just to get in are stiffer than you can imagine. And, of course, Dillard is ranked in the top 10 HBCUs in the nation, which lets you know just how strong they are academically. You know, what's the difference with the NAIA and some of the other divisions?
Well, I don't really think there's a really big difference. I think the difference between the NAIA and NCAA would just be branding. I think a lot of times people get caught up in NCAA because of the type of money that brand generates through football. Football is basically the baby of the organization, and so because they generate so much money through football, the BCS schools, that's why those other sports, they get the opportunity to get money because of the money that football can generate. I think the NAIA is a good brand, a great brand. I think, like you said, I think we have a good brand of basketball. We can, you know, we have a good product, but oftentimes we get overlooked because we are often private schools and we are smaller schools, and so people feel like small is not necessarily good because in America a lot of times we teach big is better. So, but I think you can get a quality education. To your point, I think you can get a quality education from an NAIA university and go on and do great things. And that's what it's really all about. It's about finding good people with good character and giving them the opportunity to be able to play sports and through sports teach them about life and help them to be an impact in the community.
And speaking of teaching the athletes about life, of course, we all know, you know, years back, one of the worst natural disasters, I would say, in the history of our nation. It actually unfolded right there before our eyes and unfolded across the eyes of the world, just complete devastation. How did Katrina affect your university? Now, I know before Katrina, University, of course, was on the right track. And since Katrina, the university has gotten back on track. It's everyone had to. But what are the difficulties of actually, you know, basically starting all over? I know there was damage. There was just stuff that was done to infrastructure. I know that. So what were the difficulties that you found from the athletic side? We all know about, you know, everything else, but from the athletic side of getting your program and the other programs there, but specifically yours, back on track, and getting people to say, okay, I want to come down to Dillard, which evidently, like I said, you're in the top 10, so it seems to work, but I want to come down here and I want to, you know, continue my education or complete my education at Dillard, and I want to play basketball too.
Well, I think just New Orleans, period, we have a really huge spirit, a spirit of resiliency, and I think Dillard embodies that. When Hurricane Katrina hit in August of 2005, the campus was pretty much totally destroyed. Out of all the universities here in New Orleans, Dillard took the brunt, I would say, of the aftermath of the levee breach. We suffered extensive flood damage in the aftermath, and we had fires on campus, you know, just high levels of water, you know, you name it. But one of the things that I think under the leadership of our former president, Dr. Hughes, what we did was we came together as a university. The students were in the Hilton Riverside, and we were able to, you know, to graduate those students. My brother, you know, who's my assistant, being one of them, they were able to graduate. And then the following year, I believe in 2006, we returned back to campus. And it was, you know, heavy lifting from there. We just, you know, we banded together as a university, as a community, a tight-knit community, because we're about family. And we rebuilt the university from the ground up. Our athletic director slash head coach at the time, Dr. Barnes, we didn't have a gym. We had to practice and use other people's facilities. And, you know, it was a lot of hard work going into it. And I think seeds were planted, and we're now starting to reap the benefits of those seeds that, you know, that were planted.
How did the community as a whole? Now, I understand they were probably, you know, I don't think they were beat down, just like the school was. I mean, people lost everything. As a matter of fact, here in Durham, North Carolina, we had some of the citizens of New Orleans had to move to Durham, as far away as Durham, to find, you know, housing and stuff. Because I mean, it was just terrible. How has the community embraced Dillard after this, and how have they helped Dillard to come back? And that's the school and athletics as a whole.
I think the community has done a great job of embracing Dillard, and I think our Department of Advancement has done a great job as well in raising money to help embrace Dillard, and giving the community to give back to help us with our infrastructure and to help us to rebuild. There's definitely a lot of love in the community. You know, we sit right here in the Gentilly area, and so we're always out in the community. We're led by our president, Dr. Walter Kimbrough, and he's always out in the community. And our athletic director asks all of the head coaches that are on staff to get out, to get embedded in the community, to make sure that we're doing a good job of civic engagement. So I think when you give back, I think it comes back to you. And so I believe in that principle.
Well, I tell you what, the family that came up here, they were at they came by my church on that Sunday, and the mother of the family, the lady, spoke so eloquently about perseverance and about keeping your head up and about the struggle and about the fight and about never giving up. And I tell you, to listen to her, if she is just the epitome of what New Orleans is, the fighting spirit that those people have, the citizens of New Orleans, that New Orleans have, then, that, you know, I tell you what, believe it or not, New Orleans turned out to be a very lucky place because they found out that the resilience, the dedication, and the basically, I just ain't gonna let nothing turn me around attitude. And,
right.
You know, that's one thing that sticks out in my mind so much about the city of New Orleans, that fight, that we were all in this fight together. I know there were odds, there were things against them, I know there was, it even seemed like the government was against them for a long time there, but they continued to fight. And so that's what you have now, and the city is really building back. Well, Linda, you got some questions for Coach?
I do. Good evening, Coach Rome. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing well. I do have a question. Now, how do you, your brother, and Coach Martin prepare your girls for this season?
Oh, hard work. Each coach has their actually own individual specialty. Coach Martin does a great job of helping the girls to help build them up as lead them to help them to become women, to help to give them advice. It's always good, I believe, to have a strong woman on the staff. My brother, he does a lot of the recruiting for us. So he gets out. He's on the road a lot to help us out in so many different ways to bring back talent to Dillard to help us mold and shape the kids. And I do a lot of the game planning, a lot of the X's and O's for the staff. So we each have our own specific role that we are good at. I allow everybody to work in their zone, so to speak. And so we come together and we help one another in each area. But, you know, I think it's always good when you allow people to work in that area and what they're good at.
Yeah, and I also was looking at your bio. It said you were described as dedicated, family-oriented, ambitious, and disciplined. So is that what you instill in your players?
Yeah, one of the things I always tell the team, I think discipline, coach, discipline team. And when you're disciplined, it just means simply, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, with what you're being given at the time it's supposed to be done. So, you know, simply put, you just, you know, you want to just be disciplined. And if you're disciplined, then I think a lot of times it comes back to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, speaking of that, you know, one thing that we have found out over the years, once again, and I coached for a long time too, is how have you noticed, and I don't know if this is the question I'd ask is probably like fourfold, but how have you noticed the change in the kids? Like, okay, when I came along, and that was way back in the Stone Age, but when I came along and we played the game, you know, we didn't have all the bells and whistles that, say, the bigger schools had. You know, they may have had, I don't know, a video coordinator who broke down the film, and they may have had, you know, just the various little odds and ends, which really doesn't have anything to do with winning. Get out there and playing and executing wins. But it's like the give me generation now. You know, I should be given this. Instead of looking at what you already have in front of you, that is already working for you, but you're so busy looking beyond that to something you're not going to have, and basically you're not going to get right now. That's not going to help you 5 minutes from now because you're not going to have it. So how have you seen a change in the kids as far as their attitudes towards team? Now, it's hard sometimes to teach team when a lot of these kids, whether it be AAU, their high school team, their pee-wee team, they were the man or the woman, so to speak. But when they come into a college setting, all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Okay, that's swept under the rug. Now you need to start from scratch and adapt to the new process that's in front of you called Dillard basketball, okay? How have you noticed a change? And again, what kind of change have you noticed from, let's say, 5 years ago until now in the kids, if any?
No, I don't really see a change. I think as a head coach, I think my biggest task is to make sure that I set an expectation. That's probably my biggest goal, my job, to set the expectation for the team and get them to understand what Dillard basketball is about. I think once the expectation is set and they understand exactly what you expect out of them, I think the kids want, you know, they want to meet the expectation and exceed the expectation. But I would say, and I can't go far back, but I can go as far back as old as I am, but all kids just want to be better. I mean, I don't care if I would assume, you know, kids from the 30s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, even up until now, I just think when a kid knows that you actually have a true, genuine love for them and you really care about them as a person, I think, and they know that you want them to get better, and whatever that better is and how it's defined, I think, you know, that's how you actually really reach the kid. Unfortunately, with the way society is set up, it's an adversarial relationship because sometimes, you know, with us being in a microwave society where, you know, they want things hot and ready now in a matter of minutes, so to speak, oftentimes, you know, coaches don't have a chance to add value to a kid or to a program. But when you have time to prepare and you have time to prepare a product and you can add value to a kid and to a program, you know, I think a lot of times you see that success. Say maybe like the San Antonio Spurs, they hadn't won the championship. They hadn't won the championship every year, but I would say like within the last 10 years, I think they won what, 4 championships.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pop has been given an opportunity by the Spurs to be able to be there and be a firm foundation and not have to worry about job security. And so with that being said, every year they get to go out and compete. And Tim Duncan has been a staple of the Spurs, Manu Ginobili, a staple of the Spurs. So when a coach doesn't have to look over their back and worry about job security, because coaches have to take care of their families as well, but you know, a lot of times we get scrutinized for what we're doing on the court, but oftentimes people are not in practice and they don't know what's going on in practice. And so they come to the games and they say, well, you know, it's easy to coach from the stands. Like, you know, oh,
yes.
I would have done this. I could do this. You know, you should have done this. But, you know, you're not there every day in the grind, in the process with the kids, so you don't really know what's going on. And so, you know, It just comes with the territory, you know. So that's why a lot of times as a coach, you know, you have to get them to focus on what's going to make them the better person, which is the value system that you create within the culture. And so if you get them to focus on that, I think a lot of times when you get good people and you surround yourself with good people, that's how you can continually have a successful program.
Now, coming into this season, you know, of course, expectations are always high coming into every season, hopefully putting that championship on the wall or either just making progress with that team. Sometimes, you know, you come into the season, you want to win every basketball game, but realistically it's a process to get there. You're going to get there, but it's a process to get there, and you bring in new kids. Can you talk about any that I know, you know, you might not be allowed to talk about some, but do you have any players coming in now that's going to add to that depth on the bench and immediately contribute to the team?
Yeah, I think we have a very good class coming in. It started with the senior class that we have that's coming back this year, our rising seniors, Chantrell Lumar and Kiana Favis. They're going to be our two seniors this year. So that was from the first class. But we actually had a really good class last year with Alyssa Washington and Shaylin Moore. They were two freshmen that started for me on the wings. Shay received the Freshman of the Year honors from the GCAC, and they did a pretty good job going down the stretch to say that they were freshmen. We have some really good freshmen coming in, and we have a transfer that's coming in from Houston Baptist University, who actually, she went D1 and then she transferred in at the half. She originally had signed with us, and then she went to Houston Baptist University, and then she transferred in at the half. So we have a lot of good talent. We're going to be really deep. So we're looking forward to the challenges that we're going to have this upcoming season, and I think we're going to be ready and we're going to be prepared to go in and do our best each and every game.
Well, Coach, if I was a player, let's say I'm up here in good old the Durham-Raleigh area or listening around the world, because basketball now, men's and women's basketball, as well as other sports on a collegiate level, are becoming international. So, I mean, you know, a kid in, you know, Senegal could be listening right now. What would you tell that kid to recruit that kid to come to Dillard University to get an education and also to play athletics there?
Well, I would tell him that, you know, one of the biggest things that we do is we try to find people first who are good people and who want to focus on their academics. We want them to demonstrate excellence in the classroom. We want them to demonstrate excellence and focused on what they want to do as far as their career. Obviously, we want to be embedded in the community. We want to get involved in civic engagement and people who want to compete. We're looking for young ladies who want to compete, who are passionate about what they do, who are willing to work hard. We want to help develop them and develop their critical thinking skills and their leadership skills. But the most important thing, like I say, with anything is you have to have a core foundation in being able to do that. And so we do that by focusing on the five values that I talk about all the time with the team. We focus on respect, responsibility, serving leadership, integrity, and sportsmanship. So those are the five key values that I preach constantly to the team to get them to understand that those values are going to help you to become a better person, and becoming a better person is going to help you to become a better basketball player. And eventually you'll go out in life and you'll take the lessons that you've learned from basketball and to help you to become a better citizen and a global leader.
Well, I tell you what, you sold me. I'm about ready to pack up and come down. I don't know if I could play, though. I tell you what, if I'd run down the court one time, you could use whatever scholarship money on somebody else, because I would be done. But I would just be, you know, I mean, I would just go past, oh, my God, he's passed out. I'm going straight to, oh, my God, he's dead if I have to run. But Coach, I want to thank you so much for appearing here on the Overtime Sports Show tonight and bringing your wisdom and knowledge to the people, which is, you know, that's what we need. We need our young people to feel engaged. We need them to feel empowered. We need them to be given the information to have those two things. And we have to constantly talk to them to give them to understand if we can get those, what do you call those things, Drake beats off their head long enough
right.
to talk to them and try to give them some wisdom and they
right.
listen to it, then, you know, like I keep trying to tell everybody, and I tell the young people that I also mentor and talk to, I said, now, y'all do realize that I was once, I know I don't look like it, but I was a kid one time. So, I've been through some of the battles, and I made a lot of mistakes, and all I want you to do is not go down that same patch of road. Make your own path. Watch your own potholes. But these are the holes that are already there in the road that exist for you that were there for me, too. So I just try to talk to them, and Coach, I tell you, I can tell it in your voice. I can just tell it by your bio. You really care about the kids that you coach. You care about the kids you run across. And, you know, thank you so much for everything you do for our young people and also Dillard Athletics. And remember this, if there's anything that the Overtime Sports Show can do for you at any time, you just let me know, because, hey, HBCUs want one big happy family, and we got to help each other stay strong. So, Coach, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show.
Thank you for having me, Mike. And thank you, too, Linda.
Okay, thank you, Coach Rome.
All right, Coach, take care.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. That was Coach Norbert Rome. And he's the head coach at Dillard University down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I want to say once again, thanks to him for coming here on the Overtime Sports Show. Well, Linda, we're wrapping up another show. And tomorrow we will be talking to Latrell Scott. And he is the head football coach at Norfolk State University in Norfolk, Virginia, out of the MEAC. And then followed by him Thursday night, a special one, Kyle Serba, the SID at North Carolina Central. He'll be on the air on Thursday night, and I'm going to tell you something. Don't miss that show. He tweeted out last night, oh, my goodness, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to be on the show with Mike. Help me. You know, what do I need to do? Well, Kyle, I can tell you this from experience. Drink plenty of alcohol and take as many Xanax as you can get, because it's going to be a rough ride, my friend. But anyway, Linda, thank you so much for appearing here with me tonight on the Overtime Sports Show, and we will see you a little bit later on as we move into Wednesday and Thursday. And then next week, we're going to start out talking with Deborah Cousins of the Durham County Foster Care Program. She's a recruiter, and she's going to talk to us about how to recruit foster children, how to get them, how to help them. So thank you, and we will see you next week right here. I'll see you tomorrow, right here on the Overtime Sports Show.
Goodbye, everybody.
Helping hand you love.